Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Do you remember the band Incubus?
Yes. Why wouldn't I remember Incubus?
Such a good band.
No, it wasn't.
Pardon me while I burst into flames.
Nobody's ever said that about Incubus.
Pardon me. Never be the same.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that is a good song.
It's a good song. It's where I learned to harmonize.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your cup of tea drinking, early Thanksgiving celebrating, modern love watching friend.
And I'm Bethany, your therapy going, water guzzling, already mourning the end of Halloween friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
spooky stories. For those of you who love it, hooray. For those of you who hate it, this is the last one.
We are so grateful for everybody who have officially freaked us out by submitting all these stories. We've read through hundreds of stories.
Yeah, so many of you have sleep paralysis, which sounds awful because a lot of you are hallucinating at night and feeling people sitting on your chest, and that's awful.
That's what happens when you have mushrooms for dinner.
Yeah.
So I'm celebrating Thanksgiving early this weekend. My brother's back in the States, and so we're doing like an early dinner type
thing.
Right? So Thanksgiving's late this year. I think it's like the 27th or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was mentioning this to you briefly yesterday, Bethany, how I'm totally not stressed out about Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Even though I'm celebrating it in just a handful of days.
And you're like taking an active role, like you're creating and preparing food.
Yes. But the TVs and the social medias and the whatevers, the magazines, they haven't yet told me to start freaking out about Thanksgiving. And it got me thinking, all of this holiday hoo-ha, the stressing and the cooking and the present wrapping and the freaking out.
Yeah.
It is a total social construct.
It is. When you told this to me yesterday, it blew my mind because it's a little bit like when your kid falls.
Yes.
And if you don't freak out, they don't freak out.
Yeah.
Right. Like they fall and then they look to you to see. And if you're like, oh, my God, then they freak out. But if you're like, it's cool, then they're like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah.
And
I haven't yet been bombarded with TV ads talking about Thanksgiving and articles showing up on my Facebook feed about how to make the perfect stuffing. And if you don't, your family will hate you.
And like 17 ways to not freak out during Thanksgiving.
Yeah. None of that has come through yet because it isn't quite Halloween.
Right.
And so I'm just like, oh, cool. Thanksgiving. Gonna eat on Saturday.
That's so crazy. I don't know.
You were saying yesterday how dinner parties stress people out, but not your mom.
Right. My mom loves to throw them.
Yes.
And she does like all of this preparation ahead of time so that when it's time to actually cook the food, she doesn't have to make anything. She just has to put it in the oven. Like she's done so much prep. So it doesn't stress her out. That's her reality all the time is like the reality that you're experiencing now is, no, it's fine.
That's how we should approach everything in our lives.
Yeah.
Let's chill.
It's chill. Let's do it like it was easy.
I get so stressed out. Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
These are days that sometimes I want to erase from my mind.
Yeah.
And it's not happening this time. So just some food for thought.
I'm really excited for you.
Have you seen Modern Love yet on Amazon?
It's not Gwyneth Paltrow. It's Tina Fey?
It's a bunch of vignettes.
Oh,
so
okay.
Every episode is a different story. And Tina Fey is in one of the episodes. Do yourself a favor. I tweeted this out. I feel like I'm like using my old material because I tweeted this out a few days ago. It is like a spa day for your heartstrings.
Does it make you cry?
It doesn't make you cry. It just makes you go, oh.
Okay.
You know, like, oh, that's so sweet. It's based off of a New York Times column.
Okay.
Called Modern Love, I think. And so they've rewritten the stories for a television show.
Yeah.
And it's really just so sweet.
Amazing.
I know. I know it's not like bloody or gory or anything.
It's
Bethany,
not.
But if you could squeeze it into your busy schedule.
I'll give it a shot. There's also a show. This came out. It's not new, but Dennis started watching it. So I've started watching it. It's called Hellier.
Spell that for me.
H-E-L-L-I-E-R. And it's these like paranormal investigators. It's a it's a documentary, I guess. Okay. In, I don't know,
documentary,
how many
episodes, quote unquote.
And it's these investigators who got like a series of random emails. It's my dream to get random emails that are like kind of a mystery that you have to sort of solve. And they traveled, and there's all of these. I did watch one while drinking wine, and so I lost the trail of it. I think I have to rewatch that one. But it's spooky and interesting, and it's cool. So if you're someone who wishes that like a secret society would email you and like introduce you to their secret society, that would be amazing. Maybe you'll like Hellier. When you're done with Modern Love and you're feeling good about the world, watch Hellier and get spooked out about the world.
All right.
That's what I think needs to happen.
What are you streaming it on?
Netflix or Amazon Prime?
This just occurred to me. Remember over the summer, I started getting letters from a secret society?
Okay, are you allowed to talk about this?
Bethany, they never followed up, so I think I can talk about it. But okay. I'm going to save it for a future episode, but this is a good time to solicit. Gentle listener, if you've ever been invited to a secret society via snail mail,
yeah,
via email, like I was invited,
via information encoded in a JPEG that you then discerned and followed and flew to, you know, Sweden and found on a lamppost a sign that was like, you're in the right spot, now hop on over here.
Yeah, that.
Then let us know,
because we're so interested.
I want to be in one. No one's ever asked me, and I think it's because I want it too bad.
Maybe we should start one.
It's like so much work. We can barely keep this podcast afloat.
You're right.
I don't want to be a no person. I don't want a no but you. I want a yes and you. But can I talk about quickly? I just came from therapy.
I was just going to ask you, do you feel like you're in therapy right now?
No, I feel good. I feel...
Because you said I'm wearing the same dress as your therapist.
Kathleen walks in this fantastic black... Is that brushed cotton? What would you say
that is? I think it's like canvas.
It's like a black... It's got nice pillowy sleeves. It's like an Empire waisted dress.
Yeah.
Button-down dress. It's lovely.
A shirt dress.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
My therapist was literally wearing the identical dress in therapy today.
we both shop at Madewell.
Yeah. And it looks great on both of you. I love it.
Thank you.
This is one of the reasons that if you're not going to therapy and you feel like you maybe want to go, you should go. Here is why. I was feeling so overwhelmed because I need to learn like the basics of hiring an employee and paying them. Like,
yes.
I've never had to do this before.
Uh-huh.
And anyone I ask gives me information that is based on a level of existing understanding that they assume I have that I don't have. Mm-hmm. Like, I basically need someone to tell me, like, go to www.employeeforms.com and blah, blah, blah.
Sign up.
Yeah.
Put in your email address. Get 30% off.
Right, exactly. So 10 minutes of my therapy session was just my therapist and I on our phones Googling.
Really?
Because it's not always about crying and talking about your parents. Sometimes it's like problem solving.
Yeah.
And your therapist, if they're good, will help you problem solve. I've had a therapist sit with me while I checked my voicemails because checking voicemails felt so overwhelming on my to-do list that she was like, well, let's just do it now. And she just sat while I answered voicemails.
Wow, you've had some really good therapists.
Yeah, they're great. You should find one.
You know, we were having a conversation yesterday after we recorded our bonus episode that came out yesterday, and I was telling you about a friend who's really overwhelmed right now.
Yes.
In her marriage and her kids. And you reminded me of something. And you've said this on the pod before, but I think that now is probably a good time for you to remind everybody.
It's, what would this look like if it was easy?
Right?
And I don't remember where I heard that, or who, maybe you told me, someone told me, I don't remember, but, and I know you've said it, like you said on the pod before, but when it feels so overwhelming, sometimes it helps to step back and view it through the lens of someone who's not overwhelmed by it, or almost watch how it would look if someone else was doing it, because you're not inside that person's head. So to you, it just looks like they're doing it easily.
Yes.
And
except they've just simplified.
Yeah. It's like, what would this look like if it were easy? Oh, well, I just answer my voicemails.
Like, sometimes you just need to keep the kids alive.
Yes, totally.
Sometimes they don't need kid accoutrements.
Yeah, sometimes they don't need monogrammed backpacks.
No.
And that's actually not very safe anyway.
No, you just need to keep the kids alive.
Keep them alive. Keep them fed, sheltered, clothed,
and
loved.
Kids can be a metaphor for anything in your life.
Just keep it afloat.
Right?
And sometimes the things that don't even need to be kept afloat, like, I don't know, the PTA meetings, do those still happen?
Yeah,
those
they can do. Sink. My sister-in-law is actually PTA president.
Great. If that's not going to happen, that can sink. Keep your kids afloat.
But you know what? If that were me, how do you keep it easy? Drop out of the PTA.
Just drop out.
Peace.
Drop out.
And drop if it that, means that like, metaphorical PTA microphone.
If the parents stop talking to you, great. Guess what? Your kid's still going to get an education.
Yes, exactly.
It's fine.
You don't need to do everything.
Nope. My therapist sometimes says when I get overwhelmed and I'm too many commitments, she goes, what would your life look like if you had the flu right now? And drop out of everything that you would be able to drop out of if you had the flu, including like work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just act like you have the flu, either literally and tell people you do, or like,
I wholeheartedly believe in mental health days.
Totally.
100%.
Go down to bare bones. What would you be doing if you had the flu? Nothing? Great. Do that. People will survive.
Tell people you have the flu.
You got the flu. Sometimes you get the flu.
I have to leave now, Bethany. I have the flu.
You know what? We're not going to die. We will survive.
We are going to die because we're going to be so scared.
Spooked to death.
Are you ready? Let's go. All right. Have you seen that meme? Thanksgiving's on the way. Have you picked out the outfit to wear to your living room?
I haven't seen that.
But it's so true.
It's super true.
And it's nice to have a new outfit on Thanksgiving for the holiday season. And if you're going to do it from ThredUp.
Save money and treat the earth better. Kathleen and I learned that fashion is the number two most polluting industry. And that's why we love ThredUp. It's the world's largest online thrift store where you can buy and sell secondhand women and kids fashion. I have both bought and sold on ThredUp.
I mean, I've bought stuff from ThredUp as well. They have over 35,000 brands and some of my favorites like Anthropologie, Ann Taylor, Coach, and more for up to 90% off of estimated retail.
I have a pair of Burberry trousers I bought from there. I can't afford Burberry, but I can when I buy it on ThredUp.
I need a new pair of black ankle booties, and I've been checking ThredUp every single day to see like new stuff that's popping up, and there's a lot of stuff that I've favorited.
So for a limited time, ThredUp is offering an Acquired Taste listeners a special deal for an extra 30% off your first order. That's so much. When you go to ThredUp.com/taste.
That's on top of already low prices, so hurry up and take advantage. That's ThredUp.com, ThredUp.com. /taste. There's no A in ThredUp.
Right. So ThredUp.com/taste, ThredUp.com/taste for an extra 30% off. Terms apply.
All right. I'm going to kick this off.
Kick it off.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen.
Hello.
Please omit my name from this email.
Yes, that means it's serious. Can we give them a faux name?
Sure.
Let's name them Carrie.
Carrie. Okay. I want to share my story with you, but I don't want to give too many details because this person who has haunted me for so many years now, he's still after me.
Oh, geez.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum.
I met him freshman year of college. He was charming, brilliant, and British. My friends and I used to call him co-ed Hugh Grant. Yes. I know, very cheesy, but I just want to set the scene.
Okay.
After a whirlwind first semester of flirting and partying, I came back after Christmas break and found myself in a full-fledged relationship with him. That's when things began to get creepy. I was really into studying, like big-time nerd alert. I turned out to be a corporate lawyer, so it really did take hours and hours in the library. But
totally.
Anyway, I digress. This guy, he was more of the partying type, so it wasn't that unusual if he went out drinking without me during the week. So one day we were in the cafeteria eating breakfast. It was a Monday morning, and a girl walked up to our table. She looked sick and like a little bit disheveled. After a few weird moments, she lifted her finger and pointed it towards my boyfriend, gurgling out, "You."
No, shut up.
Then she turned around and took off running.
What the hell?
She almost looked like she was trying to fight back tears before she turned. It was the strangest thing ever. But also, the look in her eyes, it made the hair on my arms stand on end.
What the ever-loving actual fuck?
My boyfriend literally shrugged it off and just started talking about a class project. I asked him what that was about, and he told me he had never seen that girl in his whole life.
I don't trust him. I say nope.
WTF. That was just the beginning of the weird incidences. We would walk down the street or the hallway, and people would do eerie double takes when looking at him, both men and women. And I just chalked it up to him being extremely good looking.
Yeah, I bet, you know, I don't know. I bet Taye Diggs has the same problem.
Then something happened that made this weird feeling I'd had in my gut all along make sense. We were in our dorm's common room, hanging out with his floor mates. It was early May, so the days were warm, but the evenings were cool and I didn't bring a sweatshirt. And I asked if I could borrow one of his. He handed me the keys to his dorm room and said to look in the closet. Well, when I got to his room, I didn't see any hoodies hanging in his closet, so I just scrambled through a few of the boxes in the bottom, thinking maybe they were packed away or something. That's when I found it. I reached my hand into a box and felt like a pile of laminated discs. My curiosity got the better of me, so I used the flashlight on my cell phone to peek into the box through the flap, as it was mostly taped shut. Inside, I could see dozens of driver's licenses. All different faces and names. I jostled the box to get a better look at its contents, all while looking over my shoulder to see if anybody was coming through the door. My heart was beating out of my chest at this point.
What the hell?
Like a moment in a thriller movie, my cell phone light caught the face of a girl that I knew. This girl had left school after being roofied and assaulted at a frat party the previous semester. In a panic, I carefully closed the tape on the box, left the room, and walked back to the common lounge to gather my things. My panic was totally written all over my face. I tried to feign not feeling well, even going as far as telling my boyfriend like I had some diarrhea coming on.
Always go for the gross because then they don't want to talk about it.
I left the building and walked straight to campus security and told them everything.
Yes!
My boyfriend was arrested the following day and I never saw him again. He pled guilty to multiple accounts of roofying victims' drinks on campus, assaulting them, and then taking their driver's licenses.
Wait, this is a woman who wrote this
in? This is a woman who wrote it.
Well done. Well done, my darling.
Luckily, I never had to testify. I started to receive letters from prison a year later. He was sending them to my mailbox at school. Thank God I never took him to meet my parents or else he would know my home address. I don't know if the police told him that I was the one who turned him in or if he put two and two together, but his letters were extremely weird. He never once spoke of violence or hurting me, but he would say things like, "We will be together in a different world."
Oh, God, no.
And at the end of every letter, he would write the following sentence after signing his name. "You have regrets. I know you do. I know you do." 6 months after the weekly letters started coming, they suddenly stopped. I later heard through the grapevine that he had committed suicide in prison. That is when the real nightmare began. Every day of my life, I am haunted. Electronics send sparks out right in front of me. Lights flicker when they shouldn't. I hear something walking around at night when I am in bed. It is torture, and I know that it's him. I've moved several times, but these ghostly occurrences follow me. They even happen at work sometimes. Recently, a very heavy paperweight flew off my desk, hit the wall, and left a dent. Sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy, but I know it's the ghost of my ex-boyfriend trying to make me feel small. I've sought paranormal help, religious help, mental health help. Everyone is perplexed. I am not crazy, and I am not making this up.
Dude, I just got chills.
As I was writing this email, my computer shut off with 75% battery. Luckily, it was all saved in my drafts. The reality of all of this is that I'm being stalked by a spirit. He follows me everywhere I go, and I don't know how to stop it. Love you, ladies. Thanks for doing these Halloween episodes. I hope you enjoyed my story. Anonymous.
Well, episode's done because we can't beat that. That's amazing.
Is that not
scary and awful?
I was reading this alone in my bedroom, going through our emails, and I almost lost it.
Dude. Chills. I hope you're okay, a nameless, anonymous emailer.
You did the right thing by turning him in. I don't want you to ever think that you didn't do the right thing.
Yeah, no, you absolutely did the right thing. What a monster.
A British monster.
Even the British can be monsters, it turns out.
Yes.
I hope you're okay. I hope that he leaves you alone at some point. What the ever-loving hell.
Oh, Bethany, do you want to go?
Yeah. Okay.
A corporate lawyer who's being haunted.
Dude.
She should sue that ghost. Sue that spirit.
Make that spirit start a corporation and then sue him.
Take him for everything he's worth.
Everything. All right. I don't know if we're supposed to. This is from Sam.
Okay.
It's very long and Sam talks about a lot of things. I'm just going to read the last part.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Happy spooky season. I love the creepy stories you read throughout the month of October. So I figured this year I'd finally write in about what it was like growing up in a haunted house. Okay. I'm going down to the very last paragraph. I was only really scared to the point where I walked the F out once. I was home from college one summer, living back at my parents' house. It was the middle of the day, and I was sitting outside in a lawn chair reading. Nobody else was home. We had a landline still, but it was mostly telemarketers and hang-up calls. The phone rang, so I went into the garage to answer it, but I didn't make it in time. I remember sitting back down and thinking, if it's really important, they'll call again. So of course, 2 minutes later, the phone rings again. This time, I ran inside to be sure I would catch it. I did, but there wasn't anybody on the other end of the line. Now, we used to get static and dead air calls all the time, so I was pretty conditioned to saying hello once and then hanging up if there was not an immediate response. But for some reason, this time I didn't. I said hello a few times, and when there was still no response, I kept holding the phone up to my ear and listening. Honestly, I don't know why. Probably because I could tell there was just something different with the air on the other end.
No.
But as I listened, I could hear muffled sound coming through the earpiece. It was rhythmic, almost like a thumping. I realized that I was also hearing it out of my other ear. It was the sound of the dryer running in the basement, coming through the phone line a split second after I was hearing it in real time.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Almost as if the call was coming from the basement.
What? Wait.
Do you want me to read that again?
Yes.
As I listened, I could hear muffled sounds coming through the earpiece. It was rhythmic, almost like a thumping. I realized I was also hearing it out of my other ear. It was the sound of the dryer running in the basement, coming through the phone line a split second after I was hearing it in real time.
Because she's in the garage.
Almost as if the call was coming from the basement.
Oh, God.
I ran the heck out the back door as fast as my little legs could carry me. I refused to go back into the house until someone else was home. As far as I know, there was no one in the basement, and I have no real explanation for what went on that day. My parents still live there. They actually just finished putting an addition on. I should call and ask if it kicked up any ghost activity.
Damn. Have you ever done this in your apartment? Where you think that there's ghost activity and you're like, come and get me.
Uh-huh.
I'm here. Yeah. I'm not afraid of you.
Like Jennifer Love Hewitt and I Know What You Did Last Summer out in the middle of the road.
That's right. Oh my God.
What do you want with us?
I know what you did. Sarah Michelle Gellar, you married Freddie Prinze Jr. That's what you did.
That's what you did last summer.
Broke millions of hearts of teenage girls everywhere.
Dude, that something is in the house with you. The call is coming from inside the house. That stuff is the stuff that gives me the biggest chills.
That's like Scream, the original Scream with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and before that, a Stranger Calls.
Every time I make popcorn, I think of Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. And then you're like, you know, Neil deGrasse husband outside.
Yeah.
Being, you know, tortured by the killer.
And mostly what I think about is how she had that Jiffy Pop pan.
Yeah.
I've never once seen those in the supermarket.
I've seen them. They're on the lower shelf because no one uses them really that much anymore. Mm,
gotcha.
They seem really easy, but also terrifying.
All right. Shall we do another one?
Yeah. By the way, thanks, Sam. Sam says, thanks to the Facebook group for being a bright spot in my day every day.
Oh.
We love our Facebook
thank
peoples.
Thank you.
Dude, bringing it with the scariness, taste buds. Well done.
All right. This one comes from Allie.
What's up, Allie? How you doing?
And she said, even if you don't share this, I'm happy that I finally have it all written down.
Oh, God, yes.
It's good to record, you know, family stories or whatever.
For your memoir.
Spooky stories. Hello, ladies. Thank you for being my weekly dose of girl talk. When I listen to you two, I feel like I'm just chatting with my friends, and it is so relieving.
That makes me happy.
All right, here's her story.
But on to scarier things. So I murdered a man once.
I was always very close with my grandma. I called her Mim Mim. Growing up, she would teach me about different religions, bring me to cultural events. She would even play this one CD of Irish monks chanting while we were in the car. That actually sounds fun.
Sounds really relaxing.
Hey, Siri. Play Irish Monks.
Playing Wild Irish Roses by Smino.
Oh, get out of here. This is like the Brooklyn millennial version of Irish Monks. This is not Irish Monks.
She also locked all your doors and turned your oven on.
Okay, back to the story. Mim Mim was not your typical type of grandma. And when I was 22, Mim Mim passed away. Oh. But I gained a serious guardian angel. In 2017, I moved out of my apartment and I inherited some of my grandmother's spices from her cabinet. And I was cleaning and throwing some things away and I audibly said out loud to myself, "Sorry, Grandma, but these are too old." Not 60 seconds later, a framed picture came falling from my wall.
Oh, shoot. My mom's pissed.
And that was probably her saying, "No way. They're still good."
I don't know, Mim, like 6 months and they're supposed to be done, right?
Grandmas just have this habit of not throwing things away.
Ugh.
Like my husband's mom,
yeah.
My mother-in-law, she's a grandma.
Yeah.
We could go into her fridge and find mustard that's expired in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
We eat it. We still eat it. We play the game.
It's delicious.
You get to take off of work if it makes you sick.
The morning show I'm working on right now, they went into his father-in-law's house,
uh-huh,
and they found a can of olives. Which in syrup, right? Or when it water.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
when
yeah.
they shook it, it sounded like marbles because
no.
it was so old.
Oh, no.
It was like, gush, 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 gush.
Fast forward a year, I was in a small shop in town purchasing gifts to celebrate the holiday. It was just me and the cashier, who was about my age and she was female as well. I noticed that she kept staring at me with a perplexed look. Eventually, the cashier says to me, "I'm sorry if this sounds weird. I get these feelings sometimes and I don't know what to do with them. I feel like I just have to let this out." And I'm thinking, damn, this girl's gonna hit on me. And I am extremely flattered. But then she goes on to say, "I feel like there is a maternal spirit with you that is really loud. I cannot get her out of my head." And instantly, I knew it was Mim Mim. This girl went on to say very crazy things, eventually saying my full legal name, which few people even know me by.
Whoa.
And my sister's initials. Please note that I had cash in my hand. My license and my credit card were tucked away in my purse.
Whoa.
Then she said to me, "Your grandma says you just received gems and treats from someone special." Exactly one day before, I was in Florida visiting my mom. I live in Connecticut. We went out for a fancy lunch, and my mom let me borrow her diamond earrings. Before I got on the plane to head home, my mom gave me a huge bag of chocolates and candies as a holiday treat. Those were my gems and my treats.
Aw, wow.
Wow.
Then this past August, I was having a tough time at work and I've been having a lot of dreams with past family members in it. In one dream, I was chased by a deceased pet through the woods who then told me, "There is an important message for you. You need to work at finding it out." Can you imagine?
I would lose my mind.
Can you imagine being chased by Oliver in a dream?
I would wake up sobbing. I would wake up sobbing.
Yeah, you loved him.
I just started my production company. I named it after him.
Aww.
Oh, buddy. Oh.
It was a dream, so it wasn't that weird that a pet was, you know, talking to me.
Sure.
But then, 5 days later, the same picture frame fell off my wall that had fallen off 2 years earlier, and it randomly came crashing down.
A cynic would say you need to fix the backing on that picture.
I know. I thought to myself, is that Mim Mim again? The next day, I met up with a coworker's cousin who is very intuitive and very open about sharing what comes to her. She immediately told me, "Your ancestors are screaming at you.
What the hell?
They have a message that they have been trying to tell you." She told me that someone who shares my DNA is trying to talk to me, not to be afraid, and that I can trust myself. Oh, and she also said that it was someone with red hair. Well, Mim Mim and I both have red hair. I'm still working on decoding the message.
Oh, she didn't tell you what the message was?
No, she didn't.
All right, look, intuitive. If you're very open about sharing everything you know, why don't you give me the message?
I know.
Don't do that to me.
Do you believe in intuitives?
Yes. Most of them, I think, are full of crap.
I do think that some of them have powers.
Yes, I do also. I think some of them have powers and use those powers for evil, like making money and exploiting people. I think
Who was it? Cleo?
Miss Cleo. Yeah, she was just like a voice actress.
She was an intuitive who couldn't see it coming that she was going to go bankrupt.
Yeah. I also think that there are people who are not intuitive who pretend to be. And then I think that there are people who are truly intuitive who don't try to profit off of it.
Yes.
Those are the ones that are the hardest to find.
Your mom said a few episodes ago that she visited an intuitive.
Yeah, she knew someone who was one. Do you think that there
Yes.
is? Yeah.
I definitely do.
Yeah. I think, but you have to be very careful.
I'm very skeptic.
Yeah, exactly.
Bethany, something's coming through. Something's coming through.
What are you getting?
A message for you.
Your third eye's glowing.
A message for you.
What is it? Who is it?
The message is, you have blonde hair and you're wearing a black dress. Oh my God, it's true.
Oh my God.
Bethany, I'm an intuitive.
I'm
an intuitive.
Well, A, you're sitting right here, and B, I always wear black.
You don't believe in me.
All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
We all know we should be drinking more water. And for a lot of people, the hardest part of drinking more water is missing the flavor of other stuff.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
Yeah. That's why I'm so excited about our newest sponsor, Circle. Circle makes drinking water convenient, fun, and delicious.
So Circle is a water bottle, and it has this like little cartridge system at the mouth of the water bottle, and you can get all different types of flavors, so it makes your water taste delicious. So I have the watermelon, the green apple, the black cherry.
The coolest part, too, is the bottle has a flavor dial, so you can customize the amount of flavor you get. I love the fruit punch, and so I usually have it at like a 3, so it's just a little bit of fruit punch, but if I'm craving something sweet, I turn it to like a 9 or 10, and yes. It's like juice.
Yes, because sometimes you just don't want to drink water.
Yes.
But your body needs water.
It's true. Plus, with over 30 all-natural flavors, including fruit blends and iced coffee varieties, there are plenty for you to fall in love with.
It's convenient, and you're going to save a lot of money. One Circle flavor cartridge can give you more than 6 water bottles of your favorite drink.
And it's a healthy solution. Circle's custom flavor cartridges are sugar-free, 0 calories. They contain all-natural flavoring, no artificial colors. You're cutting back on sugary, sweet stuff.
Yes.
But you're still getting that taste that you want.
If you're addicted to high-sugar drinks like soda,
yeah,
Circle is the system that's going to work for you to get you off of that stuff.
And right now, you can get your own Circle bottle plus 2 flavor cartridges for just $5 by going to drinkcircle.com/taste and then using the code TASTE. And now Circle is spelled differently than you think.
C-I-R-K-U-L. So go to drinkcircle.com/taste and Circle is spelled C-I-R-K-U-L.
Drinkcircle.com/taste and then use the code TASTE to get your Circle bottle and 2 drink cartridges for just $5. And if that's all confusing, go to our show notes. We'll have it all listed for you there.
Yeah.
Not every life change needs to be dramatic and exhausting and hard.
No, absolutely not.
If you are looking to take better care of your skin, you just have to get BioClarity.
I love BioClarity. We've been using them for a long time, and their cleanser is one of my favorite products of all time.
BioClarity is a clean and green skincare brand that has products that just work. Their routines are made to keep your skin looking young, healthy, and fresh by using only natural and gentle ingredients. They don't test on animals. They're 100% vegan, non-toxic, sulfate-free, and their products work.
They have 2 different routines. The clear skin routine, which is for oily and breakout-prone skin, which Bethany and I use.
Yep.
And they also have the essentials routine for normal skin and everyday use. And both routines consist of an easy 3-step regimen that helps improve the look and feel and texture of your skin. And they're both packed full of detoxifying nutrients.
And this is the skincare line that has the green stuff we've always told you about. It's called Floralux. It's made from the chlorophyll from plants, and it's helping you with redness and hyperpigmentation, evening out skin tone, and it's only found in BioClarity.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to BioClarity.com. I love their Dewy Dew. Have you tried that spray yet?
Yes, it's so good. It's like a makeup setter, and it also moistens and like hydrates your skin.
Yes, and if I've been running around all day, I keep it in my purse, and I just do a little spritz, 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 spritz.
A little Dewy Dew. Yep. And even better, all of those products are actually affordable. Right now, for our listeners, you can save 15% off everything on their website. It's an incredible deal, but you have to enter our code ACQUIRED, A-C-Q-U-I-R-E-D, at checkout.
So go to BioClarity.com and get 15% off of everything on their website when you use our code ACQUIRED at checkout.
All right, back to it. Hi, Kathleen and Bethany.
Hello.
Hello. I'm obviously sending this to you from my email address, and thus you know my name, but please change it to something sexily whimsical like Natalia or Chanel.
Oh, I like Natalia.
I like Natalia. Let's do it. Okay.
Natalia's a model.
We're going to name you.
She looks good in lingerie.
She's Natalia Chanel. She is a model. She's also a spy.
She also has a really good ghost story.
Yeah. I've been thinking about sending a story into you for a while now, but held off because it's just too chilling. I'm very nervous to actually put these thoughts to paper as I've only verbally expressed them to a handful of the most trusted people in my life.
Ooh.
5 years ago, I was in a horrific car accident. On a cold, rainy night around 11 p.m., a drunk driver passed over into the oncoming traffic. The car I was in was involved in the pileup aspect of the accident. We were the second car in a 20-car pileup. Oh, my God.
Moses.
Jeez. My best friend who was driving was horribly injured. She had double broken legs, a broken arm, a broken nose, a split skull, among other issues. Good
what?
Lord. Me, on the other hand, I went through the windshield, but other than a concussion and surface cuts to my body and some minor pavement burn, I was mainly okay. No surgery, no broken bones.
Wow.
Jeez. I remember it all. I remember the car in front of us suddenly flipping over and my best friend turning the wheel, trying to avoid the oncoming collision. I remember our car clipping the bumper of the flipped car in front of us, and I remember hitting a massive concrete divider that was on the other side of the road.
Oh my God.
Jeez. My body was lifted through the windshield and through the air in slow motion. I can see and smell the whole ordeal like it was yesterday. The moon felt like it was shining down on only me. And as I was flying through the air, I felt a jolt of electricity flow through my body. It was like all of a sudden, I had the worst case of pins and needles I've ever felt, tingling through every inch of my being. After hitting the pavement, I felt very, very sleepy despite the adrenaline rush the accident had sparked inside of me. I woke up in the back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital. Jeez, you're lucky to be alive.
My God.
Things were never the same again. Just days after the accident, I started having memories of things that had never happened to me. Faces, places, flavors.
No.
I was consumed by realistic daydreams of things and people I had never seen before. The name David started popping up in my head over and over again. I'd be buttering a piece of toast and a thought like, ask David if you want some, would run through my brain.
Are you kidding me?
As if this wasn't weird enough, I started to become obsessed with the Food Network and the Great British Baking Show. Rightly so.
Okay. I'm obsessed too.
It's a
good
high-quality
stuff.
Program.
Yeah.
It was as if some of my interests had been rewired. I used to think shows like that were so boring. I also started thinking about food in a way I never had before, and I craved flavors of things that I used to find disgusting.
This is just too weird.
During one scary night, I woke up while sleepwalking with a spoonful of peanut butter in my mouth. Okay, who hasn't? This may seem more funny than weird, but I grew up with a pretty serious peanut allergy. I live with my sister, and she keeps a jar inside of a plastic bag, inside of a paper bag in the back of our cabinet, and only eats it if I'm going to be away for a few days, as to never risk me being near it. When I became fully conscious, I started screaming for my sister to get my EpiPen. She injected my leg, and I tried to vomit up all the peanut butter best I could. We went to the hospital, but the allergic reaction I expected never came.
No.
It was the weirdest thing. A few days later, I made an appointment with my allergist who retested me, and poof, my peanut butter allergy was gone, like it had never existed within the walls of my body. A few months after the accident, I went on a skiing trip with my friends. The cabin we rented was completely stocked with every pantry item you would ever need. So after a full day of snowy activities and cocktails, we decided it would be hilarious to play Drunk Chopped.
Oh,
the desert round.
Yes!
The dessert round, rather.
Yes!
What happened next, I'm almost afraid to reveal this. Something took over my body. I started pulling things from the pantry that I've never used before. A sifter. Dark chocolate cacao powder,
wow.
Strawberry preserve. Like, what the hell?
What?
My body was possessed, moving and doing things I had never learned. These skills my body was performing were not mine.
No.
This is freaking fantastic.
No.
My friends were saying things like, why are you being so quiet? What are you making? That looks good. Keep in mind, they're all wasted.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this sounds like the best game ever.
And all of a sudden, Natalia's like super focused.
Drunk chopped.
Yeah. But the whole time, I felt like a prisoner inside my own body, watching everything unfold in front of me. I made chocolate cookies with strawberry filling. No recipe. No inkling of how to do it. It just happened. My friends were in awe, eating my cookies and marveling at how delicious they were. At some point, I snapped back into my body, confused and shaken up over what had just happened. When I got back from my trip, there was some insurance papers from the accident waiting for me in my mailbox, and it got me thinking. I'd never Googled the details of that accident. Watching my best friend's painful recovery made me never really want to know about all of the other people injured or killed that night.
Oh my God.
I opened my computer and typed the details into Google and came up with at least 30 articles about the deadly pileup. One of the articles even mentioned the supermoon that was in the sky that night.
No, there was a supermoon?
Apparently there was a supermoon. And the person in the first car that flipped over in front of us, a woman named Susan, who owned a bakery with her husband, David. Shut the hell up.
No.
Her obituary even mentioned her beloved dog named Peanut Butter.
Are you...
Shut up. There's no way.
Are you kidding me?
There's no way. I've since embraced my new love and talent for baking. My family had lovingly nicknamed me Sugar Surprise because to them, my new interest in confectionery creations came out of left field. But I know the truth. My body is possessed. I've since remembered intimate details about Susan's life with her husband and children. Sometimes I think she's trying to tell me to contact them and let them know she's living inside of me. I've thought about it a few times, but ultimately I think they'll just look at me like a certified crazy person. On occasion, I'll check up on her kids on Facebook or Instagram. Their profiles aren't private, and let Susan see what's going on in their lives. She always rewards me with something delicious.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
A of all, there's no way this is real. That is too good. That is too freaking fantastic.
That's crazy.
B of all.
That's insanity.
I hope this is real. C of all, there's no freaking way.
We have the email where it came from. She doesn't want us, and I get it. I understand. Like, this is somebody's real life
family
that you're dealing with here, which is why she probably didn't want us to share her name.
Right. And also, like, if you fully believe you're possessed and you're sane in all other aspects, you probably are very sensitive to the fact that people think you're crazy.
Of course.
But this seems insane. But also, I hope it's real because it makes the rest of us feel like maybe there's a chance we can cook chef someday.
Listen, I don't want anyone to die, but I would love for this to happen to me.
Well, it's a little bit like when people like have a head injury and they wake up and they have an accent that they've never had before.
Yes. Or they all of a sudden have musical talent.
Yes.
Or they're a mathematical genius.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever told you this before. Where we used to work.
Yes.
There was a studio. One of our producers had a piano in his studio.
Yeah.
And so I was in there recording commercials and I was waiting for someone else to finish. And I was like sitting at the piano and I don't play the piano. And I always wished I played the piano.
Yeah.
And I once heard growing up, I don't know where, probably Oprah or something, that if you fully 100% believe you can do something, you will be able to do it. But the second an ounce of doubt enters your brain, you can't do it anymore. Now, this probably isn't true, but it's
Deepak
what I heard.
Deepak Chopra says the same thing.
Probably. And then he does a Gap ad, but whatever. Okay, so I sat down at this piano, and for about 3 seconds, with all of my being, I knew I could play the piano, and I started playing something with both hands that sounded beautiful. Like,
are you kidding me?
I can't do it. I started playing, and as soon as the first few progressions sounded beautiful together, I freaked out and immediately wasn't able to play anything. So there is definitely a part of me that believes that, like, your brain can take over, or a part of your brain can take over.
Yeah. That's like, I've had dreams where I'm speaking French.
And yes.
And people are speaking French to me, and I understand what they're saying.
You don't speak French?
No, of course not.
It's The brain is messed up. Whatever.
I'm
Natalia.
I'm Natalia Chanel, model of lingerie, cooker of confectionery things.
And spy.
Thank you for sharing your story. All right. The subject line of this email is true creepy kid story.
Kids are the creepiest of all. And they're not even like phantoms. They're just creepy.
Black eyes. Afraid of nothing. This comes from Autumn.
What's up, Autumn? I used to have a bird named Autumn.
Hey, ladies, my little sister has always been considered a creepy kid. Growing up, my aunt gave my mom a bottle of holy water just in case.
That's friggin' amazing.
Can you imagine?
That's badass.
Sister, your child scares me.
Uh-huh.
Here's some holy water from Fatima.
I used to carry around a bottle of holy water.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, I stole it from a hospital. Like, it was sitting there. I had to go to the hospital because I picked up a stray cat and it bit me and I had to get injections. And they had a bottle of holy water sitting there, so I stole it, which I think negates the holy water
that
if it's stolen.
That is the most Bethany story I have quite literally ever heard in my whole life.
I've always been like this.
So I think you're forgiven for stealing the holy water. You tried to save a cat.
I did, thank you.
There is one story in particular my mom loves to tell. My family home is a block away from a small cemetery. And my family often takes walks there in the evening. Oh, she's a cemetery walker.
Yes, you're in good company, friend.
When my sister was around 2 or 3 years old, my mom had taken her for a walk, and they were heading home from the cemetery. My sister was walking beside my mom and down the lane leading away from the cemetery, and my sister started pulling on my mom, asking to be held. My mother picked her up, and they continued walking, and my sister, looking behind my mom, said, "Run, Mommy! Run, Mommy!" My mom asked her why, and my sister said, "It's following us, and it's screaming."
Oh, gosh.
My mom turned around, and there was nothing there. She obviously power walked home.
It's running behind us, and it's screaming.
Run, Mommy!
Can you imagine if somebody was running behind you screaming? I'd lose my mind.
I mean, somebody screams outside my window and I get alarmed.
God.
And I'm safe inside my house. And it's a scream, a jovial scream. And I'm like, what is going on?
What's a jovial scream?
It's like, ha, 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 ha.
What fun we're having. So one of our listeners forwarded us a BuzzFeed article called You Will Never Be This Creeped Out by Anything in Your House. So this is from, this is old. It's like from 2013. But I love, these are the stories that get me.
An oldie but a goodie.
I'm going to read it the way it's written, which is present tense.
Okay.
A user, Two Bite Brownie. Two Bite Brownie is currently staying at a friend's house. Here is why. According to Two Bite Brownie, the family moved into a house about a year ago. The previous owners built the house in the early part of the 2000s and then moved to India 2 years ago. The picture below is the bedroom of a house. So it's just a picture of a bookcase. Like yeah, a picture just, like an IKEA Billy bookcase.
Just like a white bookcase with some books inside.
And there's like two bookcases side to side.
Yeah.
Right?
Looks so like two, a built-in.
Yeah. Two Billy bookcases built into the wall. During a recent bout of rough housing with their little brother, Brownie pushed him into the shelf. When he fell, he pulled out the bookshelf with him, revealing a door behind what the family had assumed to be built-in shelves.
Yes, I love hidden doors. The I love best, hidden
the
doors.
Best. That's ooh, the dream. Ooh. Okay, so now you have the bookshelf on the right, which is normal. Uh-huh. The bookshelf on the left is like swinging on a center hinge. So it's halfway.
Like an old porch, yeah. You know, when it's like a singular door space, but it's split down the middle.
Yep.
That's exactly what it looks like.
This is what it revealed. A spiral staircase leading down. Spiral staircases are the creepiest. So, of course, they went exploring.
So they bought this house.
Yeah.
And they didn't know about the spiral staircase.
Yeah. They just thought they had a bookcase. The dream. At the bottom of the wrought iron stairs, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's just a blank wall. Perplexed by the dead end, back up they went. Halfway back up, they noticed a tiny crawl space in the side of the wall.
What?
This is my nightmare.
What?
Looking in the crawl space, Brownie and their brother found this in their own words. Someone was living in our walls. In our walls. That is my Halloween candy that someone came into my room, took from my bag, and then brought back in here. About 30 seconds after taking this picture, we realized what it meant and got the fuck out of there. So there's a crawl space. There's carpet. You see the wood beams because it's unfinished. You see a sheet.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of accoutrement, a lot of candy and old Dutch potato chips. Among the tangled sheets and garbage, a few items that appeared to belong to whomever was living in the space were found, including a key to an unknown lock and a tiny carved elephant. And this key is like a wrought iron skeleton key, big round head, three loops in it.
And the carved elephant looks like a gift that somebody brought me back from India once.
Okay.
And they said that the family that lived in the house previously moved to India.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, someone came back.
Someone came back, and they broke into the house, and they were like, I bet they don't know about this crawl space. I'm going to live there. Can you imagine you're sleeping upstairs or in a room where the door is shut? This is why I don't shut my bedroom door. Do you shut your bedroom door?
I can't. There's no door to shut.
Oh, that's right.
But Dennis does and locks it. He locks himself in his bedroom at night.
Well, he lives with roommates.
Yeah.
If I lived with roommates, I'd do the same thing.
I think he would do it even if he didn't.
I purposely leave the door open because I want to hear what's going on in my apartment at all times.
Are you a late sleeper?
No, not particularly.
Lock your goddamn door. Because guess what? You're not going to wake up. And now the person who's in your house has full access to you. And you're not going to wake up.
I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up.
Are you?
I'm going to wake up.
Because I certainly
Bethany,
wouldn't.
Bethany, I've been training. I've
how
been
do you
training.
Train?
I roll off my beds ever so silently. I hit the floor on all fours, on the pads of my fingertips.
Yeah.
And the pads of my toes.
That seems unlikely.
My toe tips.
Yeah, your toe tips. Okay.
Like Kim Possible. I roll off my bed. That's the only sound that I make when I hit the floor.
Uh-huh.
And then I grab my knives. Uh-huh. I grab my weapons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you've woken up. It means that once you're awake, you can roll, tuck and roll.
I will be able to protect myself and my husband because I am much stronger than he is.
Yes, it's great. Once you're awake, you're still not talking about how you're going to wake up.
It's actually kind of genius living in somebody else's home.
Oh, it's great. You don't pay rent. You get all the free food.
Yeah. You know, I love old construction.
Yeah.
But if I were to ever build a house from the ground up, I would most certainly ask my architect to put in a couple of hidey holes.
If you are not putting in hidey holes, or as someone who like lays down floor or walls, if you're not hiding things in the walls, even whimsical things like 1970s pornography, then you are doing it wrong.
So much bush.
So much bush
in
the walls.
It was so large.
The bush was coming from inside the walls.
I wonder if contractors, if I were a contractor, this is what I do. I would write a message, a message of hope, of what's going on in current events at the time, my feelings, my fears, my dreams, and how my family was doing, my phone number, where I lived, and I would put it in every single wall of every single house that I built.
So that people could check in with you?
Absolutely.
I think I would. I did this once at a hotel when my friends and I spent, and we were in high school, so I don't know why we were in a hotel together, but we were. My friend Lori and I unrolled the toilet paper, took a red Sharpie and wrote, "Someone died in here."
And then rolled the toilet paper. Oh my God. Wait, that was like that story that we read a few years ago where someone was walking back into their hotel room and there was a woman in their room and the woman freaked out and ran out of the room, but they later realized that there was a hole in the wall behind the mirror in that specific hotel room. And the woman had been living in the wall of this singular hotel room, coming out and stealing things and eating food and taking whatever she wanted when the person staying in that room wasn't there.
Ah, God, my eyes are watering. There's also this thing that you can do where you can tell if there is a room on the other side of your mirror. Because I saw.
Explain to me.
So I saw the movie Bad Times at the El Royale.
I hear that that's really good.
I really enjoyed it.
They've been playing it on HBO recently.
You should watch it. It's really, really good. I liked it a lot. Cynthia Erivo gives the best monologue about the patriarchy. A lot of it has to do with the hotel room's mirrors not having a back, right? So there's like space.
Yes.
On the other side.
Yeah.
How to tell if your mirror is a two-way mirror. Here we go. Conduct this simple test. Place the tip of your fingernail against the reflective surface. Put it against the mirror.
Okay.
And if there's a gap between your fingernail and the image of the nail, then it's a genuine mirror.
Okay. So there needs to be a gap.
A gap between your fingertip and the reflection of your fingertip.
Got it.
However, if your fingernail directly touches the image of your nail, then beware, for it is a two-way mirror. Now,
these are good life skills to have. Everybody should know this.
Yeah. Now, I was in a hotel when I read this.
Yeah.
I tried it. My fingertip touched my fingertip. I immediately freaked out. But then I sort of pried the mirror aside and there was nothing.
Okay.
So there's also like some way that they make mirrors. Not all of them make that rule work.
Interesting.
So it's not like.
So you don't know. But it's an interesting thing to like have in your back pocket.
Yeah, because you just don't know.
In case you're ever kidnapped and people are interrogating you in a small room and there's a mirror and you're like, that's a two-way mirror. I'm not saying anything.
And you know, I mean, if they're interrogating you, just assume there's a camera on you. Relax.
No, you can't assume anything, Bethany.
You should always assume.
While we're on the topic of two-way mirrors, can I share an article I found recently?
Yes.
We were talking about why you won't stay in an Airbnb.
Yes, because they're going to watch you through their cameras.
So this website, centeltechsecurity.com.
Okay. I believe it because it has the word tech and security in it.
Hard-hitting news.
Yeah.
How to find hidden cameras and spy-like gear.
Yes.
Like a professional.
Yes.
The definitive guide.
I wanted the definitive one.
I'm going to include this link in our show notes in case you want to refer to this.
Yes.
CentelTechSecurity.com. So this is basically how you sweep a room. When you enter a room, you enter a hotel room, you enter an Airbnb, you need to ask yourself this question. What type of surveillance equipment, if any, in this type of room that you're in could be used against you?
Okay.
So audio.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah.
Hidden in different places.
Video means more to me. I sound amazing nude.
When you hear me talk when I'm naked, I've been going to the gym.
Your body looks toy.
So, for example, if you find yourself staying at a bed and breakfast or a hotel or an Airbnb, chances are that you would find surveillance equipment that would utilize video.
Yeah, because they want to see you naked.
But if you're in a business meeting, you know, a conference room, you might want to assume that the intelligence that they're gathering is perhaps audio.
This is very good. This is why they're Centel Tech Security.
Yeah, because they're like trying to make a business deal with you.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're leaving now. And then you talk amongst yourselves. You're like,
you're like, we really want this, but we don't want them to know we want this.
Exactly.
Okay.
Start by standing in the center of the room. split the room into quadrants in your mind, into fours.
Okay.
Once you have identified your quadrants, go through each quadrant one at a time and clear it using the following techniques.
Okay. I hope there's a wand involved.
Start by making basic observations.
Okay.
Perform a general scan and pay attention to anything that looks out of place or maybe appears suspicious.
Like what?
Are there duplicate items in the room, such as duplicate clocks, duplicate smoke detectors?
I fully have duplicate clocks in my bedroom.
Duplicate coffee pots? Are there any unusual holes in the wall or the ceiling? Are there any items in the room positioned in an unusual way? Check all the appliances like television, clocks, phones, hair dryers, coffee pots for exposed wires, suspicious lighting, anything that looks abnormal.
Okay, this is good.
Then check every outlet and identify what is plugged into each socket.
Oh, that's good too. These guys really are definitive.
All surveillance devices require some type of power source, okay? Yeah. So whether that power source is powered by an electrical outlet or a wireless battery, it may depend on how long you are expected to occupy the room and if the perpetrator has access to your room. Wireless means that they probably are nearby or there's some sort of receiving device, right?
Okay, right on.
Devices that run on batteries have limited lifespans.
Fair.
However, those that run on electrical power can be used for constant and long-term surveillance. So that's why you need to check the plugs. If you are really super paranoid and you think that someone's watching you, unplug everything.
I will.
So video surveillance, audio recorders, any type of video surveillance device would be positioned in a way that would provide the best opportunity to capture footage.
Okay.
So that's the way you need to think about it. If you think that somebody is looking at you through a video camera, what would be the best position to place that camera to get optimal view of the room?
Yeah.
Look there.
In the toilet. A lot of people dig that.
You know, I like...
In the shower.
Yeah. If you can't see my face, I don't know if I care if you're looking at my butthole. If you can't see my face, like what's one butthole to another?
I mean...
They all look the same. All the same shit comes out of it.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable.
You're blushing.
Let's change the subject.
Yes, the shower would not be ideal.
Right.
I do some weird stuff in the shower.
I do too. I brush my teeth.
Ew.
I sit and I cry. Don't ew me.
I pee in the shower.
You just said two very awful things. Don't you dare ew me. How dare you?
It's important to also pay special attention to locations where people would have special and private conversations.
Yeah, like the bathroom.
So if you need to have like a super secret conversation, that's why you go outside.
Yeah.
It's hard to put a tracking device outside, especially an audio one.
Yeah. It's like in the real world, whenever they wanted to cry, they'd go into the bathroom because that's the only place the cameras couldn't go.
Yes. Or in movies.
Yeah.
You know, you get into the shower, turn the water on.
Yeah. Turn the water on. Okay. These are so good. Oh, I love this stuff.
So always keep an eye out for smoke detectors, thermostats, outlets, fixtures, and bulbs. Normally, common sense would suggest that these devices should all match and remain relatively similar since they are usually original to the construction of the room or building. If you notice one that looks a little bit different,
that's a device.
Yeah. Like, you know how sometimes I've seen this on Instagram or Pinterest where people have fake outlets in the wall and it's where they store their valuables?
Oh, geez.
They're not real outlets.
It's like a key rock.
Yeah. It's like a little secret hidey hole in the wall. And yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's obvious.
You know, or it might be a camera. Because it's not original.
Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful.
Also, something that I've never thought about that I thought was really interesting, this article says, know the amenities that your Airbnb or your hotel room or your bed and breakfast says they come with.
Okay.
Because if there's something in that room that's not listed on the regular amenities list, it might be a device that a previous person staying in that room left there to record.
Oh.
So if there's a coffee maker in your room and that wasn't, you know, like originally agreed upon or listed, contact the person you're renting the room from and be like, hey, what's up with this coffee maker? When in doubt, put it in the hallway.
Cool.
Put it outside. Cool. Throw a towel over it.
Yeah, that's what I do. This can probably be part three, by the way.
All in all, if you're still really paranoid about staying in a place that has secret surveillance, purchase a radio frequency detector, an RF detector. Most long-term surveillance devices will need a way to transmit information back to the surveyor, and an RF detector works by scanning the area in search of devices emitting radio waves, and once a frequency is detected, the scanner will produce an audible tone for the user that fluctuates as the device detected is getting closer or further away.
I'm absolutely buying one of these.
An RF detector.
Yes, I'm getting one.
I'm gifting one to my entire family for Christmas.
This is so good. Thank you, Kathleen.
Don't leave home without one. It's that time of the year. Seasonal depression is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And you know
what
that
means? I'm welcoming it with open arms because I see it every year.
It means that you need to focus on getting really good sleep because really good sleep can help combat, you know, the feeling downs in the winters.
Sleep affects the quality of your daily life. And that's one of the reasons we've partnered with Purple Mattresses. The founders of Purple are two brothers. They've been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. So they understand about comfort.
Yeah.
But one of them is a rocket scientist.
A legitimate rocket scientist. And so he was like, I'm going to make a mattress that's the best of the best.
Yeah, and they did, and it is. Purple material feels really unique. It's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable, and it's breathable, so you sleep cool.
And because he's a rocket scientist, it gives you that zero gravity feeling. So you can get Purple Mattress for a 100-night risk-free trial, and if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund.
It's backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping, free returns, free in-home setup, and old mattress removal. Right now, our listeners are going to get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. And that's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide.
So just text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 84888. It's the only way to get this free pillow. So all you have to do is text TASTE to 84888.
That's TASTE to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
I don't know how we got from scary stories to here.
But you know what?
Protecting yourself is very scary.
Yeah, having someone in your home or recording you is very scary.
Should we do one more scary story before we go?
Yes. And it's not even really scary. It's just really nice.
Okay.
This is from Melissa. She said, last year around this time, there was a well-known author in my area by the name of Charles Adams.
Okay.
He was doing a ghost tour in an old cemetery. And since I always wanted to go on a ghost tour in a cemetery, I figured, why not?
I'm so jealous.
I know, me too. I found out my great-great-grandfather was buried in that cemetery before I went, but I never knew exactly where he was buried. As I entered the cemetery, I said, okay, Grandpa, where are you? As the tour got started, we stopped along the way as the author was telling stories of some of the people buried there. I looked around at all the old tombstones, only to find myself standing right on top of my great-great-grandfather's grave.
What?
Oh, by the way, this all happened on the anniversary of Edgar Allan Poe's death. Thanks for reading. Taste Bud Melissa. That's awesome.
Oh, that's very sweet, Melissa. Thank you.
I like that a lot.
All right. If you're Netflix and chilling this Halloween, I'm here to share with you, according to the New York Times, 13 scariest horror movies that Netflix has right now.
Nice.
The Black Coat's Daughter.
Love it. Very moody if you're looking for ambiance.
Candyman.
Never seen it.
Carrie.
Yes.
Did you see that thing on Instagram that was going around this weekend? This girl got into a car crash. She totaled her car. She was totally fine, but she was dressed up like Bloody Carrie.
Jeez.
She was on her way home from a Halloween party, and when the EMTs got there, they thought she was dead.
Oh, gosh. Of course. That's a great costume, by the way. You just have to put on a nightie.
The Conjuring.
Love it.
Creep 2.
Oh, God. I've only seen the first Creep.
The Eyes of My Mother.
Oh, gosh, I've never seen.
Hush.
Hush is a great one.
Scream.
Great classic.
1996. I think I'm definitely going to watch that one.
Reinvigorated the horror genre.
Train to Busan.
Never seen.
Busan. Under the Shadow.
Haven't seen.
Under the Skin.
I have. It's okay.
The Witch.
The Witch is great.
Would You Rather? I've seen pieces of it. It's not great.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what the New York Times is saying Netflix has to offer this Halloween day.
Those are great. Thank you, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
Before we say what we learned this week, really quickly, I want to give you guys an update on the palette.
Oh,
the great palette debacle of 2019.
So what's going on? You can't get the great city of New York to take it away.
Could not get them to take it away. Could not get bulk to take it away. Could not get recycling to take it away. Could not get bulk recycling. Could not get pallet recycling. Finally, I called 311, New York's number.
Okay.
And they were like, it should be taken away by the garbage people. And I said, well, they didn't the first two times. And he said, well, they should. So the rule is it has to be smaller than 3 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it has to be reasonably lifted by two people.
Yeah, like a small child.
Right. So this is the note that I hammered to the pallet.
Stop it.
Last night.
You left a note for the garbage people.
I did. And I fully hammered the nail in so they couldn't leave it behind saying that there was a nail sticking out.
Mm.
Here's what the note said.
Okay.
Sanitation. Please take this. It is smaller than 4x3 and is liftable by two people. I myself moved it and I am but one woman. It's for trash pickup. Thanks for your help. This morning, it was gone. Why?
Good.
Because the garbage dudes were like, well, but a woman took it, so I got to take it. We're strong. We can take it. And my landlady was like, you called them out. You called their bluff. They took it.
Yep.
thing. I don't like to use gender stereotypes, but sometimes you have to play dirty.
Play to their sensibilities.
Uh-huh.
Get and on so their level. Yep. Taste of their own medicine.
Exactly. So it is gone. Shout out to the New York Sanitation Department. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
So I have been a little bit more cognizant of how many beauty products I'm using, quickly I'm going through products. I'm trying to stretch a dollar.
Totally.
You hear me?
I hear you.
So I got this tip from Real Simple. They said, keep a permanent marker in your bathroom.
Okay.
And when you buy a toiletry item, especially makeup or skincare, write the date and the price on it.
Oh.
So A, you know how long it's lasting you. B, you know how much you paid for it last time you bought it.
Okay.
So it can help you budget and help you figure out, like myself,
yeah,
I'm going through conditioner way too quickly.
That's really good.
Like a bottle a week.
That's insane.
I know. My hair is really dry.
Yeah. Mm. You need Olaplex.
Anyway, keep a permanent marker in your bathroom, write down your products.
That's a really good idea.
Not very slightly, but very monetarily wise.
You got to do it sometimes.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you love a place, if it's your favorite place, mm-hmm. go there as much as you possibly can if it's a small business.
Burger King?
Less Burger King. I would say more like...
The Impossible Burger.
Delicious.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried the Burger King one Dennis has. Freaking loved it.
Really?
Said it was so, so good. He went back for a second.
I'm going to go there today.
Yeah. But like a mom and pop restaurant, a bookstore, like a small bookstore, a small clothing store, boutique, whatever. If you like them, use them. And it feels obvious, but one of my favorite restaurants around the corner from my apartment closed today. And I had been excited to take a family member there when they finally visited and it just didn't. It closed. So it was a good reminder. These places that we take for granted aren't going to be here forever.
Go there.
Go there.
Even if it's just for a cup of soup.
Totally. And if it's a bookstore, buy your books there.
Or a glass of wine.
Yeah. Just do it. Thank you so much. We hope you have a wonderful Halloween.
Yes.
And
this episode's coming out on Halloween.
Happy Halloween. The veil is thinner tonight. Do what you will with that information.
So with that information, you should try and contact somebody.
If you want to.
In your living room, in your graveyard.
Doesn't have to be spooky. It can be very wonderful and lovely.
Look up a spell online. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's an app for that too.
I'm going to be, saying hi to some old pets, some relatives that passed, and just showing appreciation and having a little feast. It's going to be good.
Light a candle.
Mm-hmm, totally. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I am Miss Bethany Watson, MS Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter.
If you want to get in touch with this podcast, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Twitter, we are at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com, just search Acquired Taste Podcast. The fan group is also there. They are baby angels of people.
If you want to send us some snail mail, you can do so at An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us. 5 stars is the best. It helps us go up in the rankings. And
yes.
We've been doing actually really well on iTunes especially, so we're very grateful.
And we're millionaires now. said the girl who only ate 3 cheese crackers so she could have the rest tomorrow.
Honey, do you need to borrow money? I'll give you a little bit. I don't have much. And also one more thing. We love to hear your voicemails. They make us really, really happy. We always play them at the end of the episode. So you can leave a voicemail, 917-994-0353. Loved hearing the one. I think it was maybe this last episode, maybe 2 episodes ago, where she bought a crock pot, immediately took it out of the holder.
And
it
shattered.
She's like, on my way to buy another crock pot.
You know, if you break the inside part, the ceramic part of your crock pot,
yeah,
just write to the company. They can sell you another one without selling you like the big electronic part.
Nice.
Because people who are kosher need 2.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, I learned that from my kosher friends.
Oh, that makes total sense. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that's another thing we all learned this week.
Bethany, remind us.
What?
Take a deep breath.
We did already.
We did?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Promise you.
Bethany, we so did not.
Promise you. Go back and listen. Roll tape.
Just do it again.
Okay. This is another weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
I don't know if we did that twice.
Happy Halloween, friends. We love you.
No, we didn't.
I bet you $25 American dollars.
No. Uh-huh. I don't have $25 American dollars.
Hey ladies, this is Cheyenne from Post Falls, Idaho. So I just had to pause today's episode, and Kathleen was talking about some guy who tried to fake his own death getting out of a cell phone bill. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about a story about my ex-mother-in-law who faked her own death to get out of a landscaping bill. She had this landscaping company come out and do a bunch of work, and she faked her own death. I saw the text messages that she was sending them, and she was pretending to be her mom and saying that Vanessa died of a brain aneurysm all of a sudden, and she got out of it. I don't know how, but I mean, I have to say that karma has definitely caught up with this lady.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm Jess, first-time caller but long-time listener. I am freaking out, kind of distraught, because I just listened to the episode 209 about spooky stories, and I can't stop thinking about Dylan, this Dylan guy that was calling the girl for the past 11 years. But then the girl found out that he had died 11 years ago. Like, how did she know he was calling? Were they talking? Did she talk to someone or his spirit? Very, very spooky. Cliffhanger ending of a story, Bethany. And I'm there again, just distraught.
Hey, y'all. It's Carly from Texas. So I am sitting in my car, and I just had to tell you about my awesome mom's fail. I was supposed to run into the grocery store to get some essentials for the kids, get the milk, that kind of stuff, and I am looking at the bag sitting in my passenger seat, and I have two bottles of Moscato Barnum's animal crackers for myself, and yeah, I forgot the milk, so I just hope you guys are having a wonderful day, because now I've got to go back inside.
Hi ladies, this is Jackie from Denver. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my best taste bud, Leah, who recently got engaged in the most magical way possible. I won't tell you the whole story, but it involved a private boat ride to an island, a Michelin star restaurant, and a vineyard in Venice. Like, holy crap. Anyway, I'm so happy for you, Elle. You are a badass and deserve all the happiness in the world.
Hi ladies, this is Allie from Connecticut. So after listening to Bethany's realization about trying to get the card catalog into our apartment made me have flashbacks to the awful event last year of me moving into my apartment and trying to get a couch in there.
Hey ladies, this is Raven Fisher calling you guys from Virginia. Hey, I was just listening to the most recent bonus episode where you guys were talking about calling 911 and it knowing where you are, being in New York versus Minnesota or Wisconsin. Fun fact, that's actually not entirely true. If you live in a rural area, 911 possibly could not help you. So my family, my parents have a river house in Virginia. It's on the James River, which is really big and wide. And where they have the river house, on their side of the river, it's less populated. The opposite side of the river is pretty densely populated. They had an incident recently where there was a fire, kind of a brush fire in an area. And my parents called 911 thinking they could get to the fire department. Well, lo and behold, it pings the tower on the other side of the river. They get the dispatcher who says, I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't get to the other side of the river. You're going to have to call the local fire department there, which is not 911. It's an actual number. My parents didn't have it, and luckily the situation, they were able to defuse it. But now they have a huge sign posted in their kitchen for visitors, and if anyone ever needs help, if you need the fire department, call this number, which is a local area code number, not 911, because it doesn't work. So, PSA, fun fact, if you live in a rural area, make sure you know how to get in touch with your local emergency services.
Hi, ladies. This is Mandy. I'm listening to the bonus episode, Spooky Stories, and Bethany just mentioned Jeepers Creepers. When I was 16 or 17, I had watched that movie. It scared the living daylights out of me. And I'm driving on a very familiar back road one night. I look in my mirror and I swear I keep seeing that creature from the movie. So I'm watching in my rear view, watching. Next thing I know, I'm in a ditch and up a bank. Yup, Jeepers Creepers made me have my first wreck.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. So I was just listening to your podcast, and I agree. I totally lived shut in at a hotel, even if it was mildly haunted. I do think all hauntings need like a safe word, though, so the ghost knows when to back off. And I've chosen Nickelback, because everyone wants to disappear when they play. Just kidding, kind of. Love you, girls. Can't wait for the next spooky podcast and continuing the epic love story that is Bethany and Dennis and her unmelting heart.